Okay, so like I said, today I just want to wrap up some Sphere to Omer issues. This is really just a few topics I think we should at least have touched on. And after that, I really want to move to a new sugya, and in person, it's a bit more of a complicated sugya. So I'm glad we'll do it in person of sorts. Okay, so there were a few wrap-up issues I wanted to do. So one issue, and you can see I copied here for your Itarigan's notes from his Talmudic methodology series online. But I think these are important questions to look at. We'll follow the Makaros. I'll sort of switch back and forth on the screen here. So one is this, is who does the mitzvah devolve on? So we have certain mitzvot of counting in the Torah that are communal, such as the counting of the years up to Yovel, right? The counting of the years up to Shemitah every 7 years, and then seven Shemitah to Yovel. That's a communal count, right? The obligation to count. One second, my kids are screaming, and the door's open. So that count is a communal count. And then there are counts which are very personal, like the counting of Zava, right, where a woman who has three irregular seeings in a row, so then she has to count 7 clean days, and she counts her days, right, meaning 7 days without any sort of blood or whatever liquid is coming out, blood, but whatever, it's irregular. And that's a personal count. So what about Sfirat Omer, right? Is it entirely personal, communal, both? What is it exactly? So there's been a lot written about this. What? So normally we don't, right? Normally they're either or. So what we want to do is try to figure out what exactly Sfirat HaOmer is. Now there's been a lot written about this, but I really wanted to simplify it and try to knock it off today. So let's look at the Psukim and see what we would get, right? So you see Itarigan starts that way also, so I'll pull it up here. So the Psukim tell us, you can see the, are you're switching screens with me? Do you see my, what do you see? You see the source sheet now, or do you see the, no, you don't see the Psukim. Here, now the Psukim. Okay, right, so the Psukim in Vayikra, Usvartem lochem imacharat ha-shabbat miyom haviyachem et omer ha-tnuvah sheva shabbatot timimot tiyena. So here, what do you see? Usvartem lochem is count for you, but what type of you? You plural, right? Meaning that's what we know. It's you plural. So the implication is community. Now in Re'eh, the pasuk tells us in Devarim 16. Okay, I'll pull it up here. In Devarim, it says, one second, it says, there we go. Sheet easier. Let's share it. Hi, Yosef, by the way. Okay, so in Devarim it says, "V'safarta le'sheva shavuot tishpar lach." Right, 7 weeks you should count for you, singular. So now we've noted in the past that there are other differences between the psukim. So, for example, Right, if you hear, you look at Rabbi Targum's summary. Right, one difference is that Emor mentions counting weeks and days, when Re'e mentions only the weeks, and we've talked about that a lot in terms of the connection of weeks and days, etc. Another difference is the Karbanot. So in Dvarim it says, "Vasita chag shavuot ladan alecha, masat nivat yadcha asher titen kasher yivarach ladan alecha." You shall make a chag. Now a chag means you'll bring a korban chagiga, and you'll bring the shtei lechem, etc. I'm sorry, you'll bring the korban in Parshat Emor. No, I'm sorry. Vayikra focuses on the korbanot, right? The shtei lechem, the special two loaves of bread, which you don't have in Re'e. And the third difference is this lochem versus lecha. Now, why is this important? So this is important because if you remember, we saw this a long time ago, but when we did this Gemara several times, but the Gemara on Samachayim Bet says, Tanu Rabbanan, here, let me put it for you on the screen. You still see the source sheet, right? Okay, right? So this is the Gemara. This is just one line. The Gemara had said, V'safartam lochem, shetei svira lekol echad v'echad. Right? The Gemara says something a bit surprising. And it actually says that you might have thought that lochem, I might have thought, if you'd asked me, I would have said lochem means all of you. Lecha means each individual. So maybe that's communal versus individual. But the Gemara actually reads it not that way. And the Gemara says, no, no, no. Lochem doesn't mean you as a communal whole. It means lochem, each and every one of you. So therefore, the way the Gemara reads it is that lochem means each and every one of you should count. So what is this? Safarta le, safarta lach, dispar lach. So this is, right, this could have gone in different ways, right? You could have said, loch is you as an individual, lochem means you people as a community. The Gemara might actually take it the opposite way, which is that lochem is each and every one of you, plural, should count, and lach is you collective whole as a unit should count. Now, what would be the support for that type of read? So that comes from, as I mentioned, what is the paradigmatic case of communal counting? The paradigmatic case of communal counting is the counting of Shemitah and Yovel. And what's the language there? So I'm pulling it up on the screen now. V'safarta lecha. You shall count. And there it's clearly the Beit Din. V'safarta lecha sheva shabbatot shanim, sheva shanim, sheva pe'amim, v'ayu lecha yimei sheva shabbatot ha-shanim, teishav arvayim shana. Right, parenthetically, it's the exact same sequence, right? 7 times 7, which is 49. So here you have the paradigmatic communal count, which is Yovel, is 7 times 7, and the language is singular. You, the unit of the Beit Din, as a singular, should count. And you have that in Re'e as well, that Tispar Loch, so the Gemara would understand this seemingly as communal, plus you have Svartim Lochem, you plural, each and every one of you, should count. So what does this tell us? Does this tell us that maybe there is a two levels to the count? So this really depends. The Ramban in Emor says that in fact the Gemara, when it says v'safar that lochem means each and every one of you, that tells you that Here we go. That this is distinct from the sphera of the Yovel. And here's the Ramban. Right? The Ramban says, V'tam b'svartam lachem, u'kmo lakachtam lachem. Right? In general, lachem always means not what I said it might mean, which is all of you as a community. It means all of you as individuals, each and every one of you. And he gives other proofs, like by lakachtam lachem, by the lulav and esrog. And he says, "Shetei shvira l'kicha l'kol echad ve'achad." Each of you, each and every one of you, should take shimne befiv yaskir cheshbono kasher kiblu rabotenu. That each of you must count; it's a personal obligation, like Chazal said in the Gemara we just saw. Ve'ein kein v'safar lo v'safar la d'zaven shari amratu omdim b'tumatam shal yishkechu. He said, Zava, which we talked about before, that is an individual account, but it's not quite the same because it's not obligatory. Because a woman could say, look, I don't care to be Tmeya. I don't care if I'm Tmeya. It's just that if she wants to count, if she wants to become pure, so she needs to count clean days, but it's similar in the sense that it's personal. But v'safarta lecha, the Yovel should deserve a mizrachal tishkach. Retard kanim savarta lecha beveit din. And he says it's clear that if you look in this in the midrash halacha in the Torah Kohanim, it says that Yovel, who is the singular, the beit din. So the Gemara and the Chazal very clearly say that whenever it says lochem plural, that means that each and every person individually is obligated. And whenever it uses a singular language, that means there must be a singular entity to which it's talking. And that's how, if you take the two chazals together, what the Ramban points out is that Yovel is a communal obligation on Beit Din. And he says, V'lo yadati momar shiu Beit Din. Agadocha yinim sporshanim v'shavot brosh kol shana al-bara chalein kemoshan asbirun ha-omer olo mar shizaro betim v'minin v'kachu shana chamishim. He says, I'm not sure the nature of the communal obligation, whether it means at the beginning of each year the Beit Din does a count, just like we do with Sfira na Omer. And they do a right a count. Aya right Hashana Shana Rishona Leyovel. Aya Hashana Shana Shnia Leyovel. Right, something like that. Or whether there it just means keep track so that you can count number 50. The Ramban thinks for sure is that Yovel is entirely communal, and Sfira Omer, we follow the Gemara's interpretation of Parshat Emor, that Lochem means each individual. We say that the Omer is only a individual obligation. Okay? So that's clear? The Ramban thinks Yovel is entirely community, and Sfirat Omer is entirely individual. Okay, that's the summary of what we've seen so far. However, the Chizkuni thinks not this way. And the Chizkuni said, but wait a second. Right? Lochem, in the mind of Chazal, means each and every one of you. Licha means you as a communal entity. So why, how can you say that we just follow the psukim in Vayikra and say it's only on each and every one of you when the pasuk in Dvarim says that it's v'safarta v'tispar lach? You should count singular, which Chazal understand in the context of Yovel to mean that it's you, the communal entity. Why are you discounting the presentation as it appears in Dvarim? If Chazal in general think that whenever you have language like that, that you should count, it means that you should count as a as a communal entity. So therefore, he says, wait 1 second. So therefore, what he says is that there is a double mitzvah, right? There is a double mitzvah, meaning there is, let me share the screen again, like this, right? And I'll read you his summary. By contrast, the Chizkuni believes, in part based on the two discrepant portrayals of Shirat Omer, that two levels of the mitzvah exist. Based upon a Sifrei in Re'ei, he claims that the mitzvah to count the Omer devolves both upon the individual and upon the Beit Din. As counting towards Yovel only applies to the Beit Din, no bracha is recited. Omer applies to individuals as well and therefore requires a bracha. Conceivably, he would suggest the same distinction between communal counting and personal counting to account for the need for to verbalize Sefirat Omer and the absence for this requirement for counting towards Yovel. And now he summarizes the Rav, right? It was just easier for me to copy from his summary of the Rav. He says, the Rav amplifies this position of the Chizkuni by asserting that personal counting and communal counting each serve different functions. Based upon the aforementioned centrality of counting the weeks in Parshat Re'eh, we may consider the communal counting as a general counting necessary merely to calculate the date of Shavuot. Right? And you saw this was true in the Ramban. Right? The Ramban says that maybe he had a suffix. Do you say that when the Beit Din counts towards Yovel, they actually have to count each and every year, right? Ashana, Shana, Rishona, Li Yovel? Or is it that communal countings aren't really counts, they're just calculations? Meaning you just need to make sure that you're keeping track so that when you get to year 50, you know that it's Yovel. And the Rav argued that maybe that the Ramban is right in that side. That communal counts are mere calculations. They're not counts. You don't actually have to count year by year or day by day. What you need to do is make sure that you keep track of what it is so by the end you know what it is. But personal counts are about giving significance to each day through the process of counting. And therefore, the Rav argued that that's why in Parshat Re'eh, which is talking about the communal count, Tispor Lach, it doesn't say count days and weeks, it only says count weeks, because the communal count is a lot less about counting each day and making sure that by the end, you know what day it is, and therefore it doesn't delineate days and weeks, you just got to make sure that in the end you have 7 weeks, as opposed to Vayikra, which talks about the personal count. Each and every one of you should count that it says Chamishim Yom, count every day, because it's a count, not a calculation. So he says we may consider the communal counting as a general counting, necessary merely to calculate the date of Shavuot. Indeed, while the passage in Re'eh is dominated by the celebration of Shavuot, right? He says in Re'eh, which is just about getting to the end goal, the focus is get to the end of Shavuot. As opposed to the case of Vayikra, where the process is important as well. So hence, the communal counting of Re'eh is a general calculative process to mark the occasion of Shavuot. In fact, when the Jewish calendar was based on eyewitness testimony, the day of Shavuot is no relation to the given date, but rather was determined by the sighting of the new moon of the month of Nisan. By contrast, Emor's personal counting is designed to animate the days themselves with a special experience on the individual level, assisting the personal transformation which should develop mirroring the period between the nascent Minchat HaOmer of roasted barley flour and the more developed leavened wheat loaves of the Shtei HaLechem. Now, he notes that the Chizkuni does not address the issue of verbal versus silent counting. The Rav does not elaborate, but based on the aforementioned structural differences between communal counting and personal counting, we may postulate some applications. As the communal counting is object-oriented to determine the date of Shavuot, it does not have to be verbalized. However, the personal counting is geared towards bestowing a certain identity upon the actual time period and therefore must be formally articulated. This distinction, if true, would raise the possibility of several other interesting differences. Previous Shiurim about Sfirot HaOmer questioned the existence of an actual formula and the need to verbalize the counting as opposed to writing it down, something we didn't talk about too much. Perhaps communal counting, as it is merely calculative, can be written down or even thought, and does not demand a specific formula. Personal counting, as it attempts to confer a special nature to the time period, may require a specific formula and may have to be verbally articulated. The Rav does suggest an explanation to describe the absence of bracha from communal counting. Inasmuch as this process is designated to determine its endpoint, i.e. Shavuot, the mitzvah is not complete until the endpoint is reached. Based upon the guidelines of Menachot 42b that brachot are only recited at the conclusion of the performance of the mitzvah, no bracha can be recited upon the public counting. And we saw this when we did the Gemara in Menachot on 42, when we were talking about tying the tzitzis, and rather than wearing them. Presumably, for the same reason, no bracha is recited upon the public counting of Shemitah cycles, since the conclusion of the mitzvah determining the Yovel year is only achieved after the counting has been completed. By contrast, counting days at a personal level is not geared primarily towards determining when Shavuot will begin. Each day's counting constitutes an independent mitzvah and therefore requires an independent bracha. This distinction between the function of communal and personal counting may also account for the position that we've seen of the Bahag, right? And again, we've seen this 100 times. Tosfot in Megillah cites his opinion regarding counting the Omer during daylight hours. It does not entail a performance of the mitzvah, and no bracha is recited. However, it maintains the continuity of the sphere and allows for future counting for the bracha. Logically, this position is questionable. If no mitzvah is performed and no bracha recited, why should it preserve the 7 perfect weeks and allow future counting? A previous year in the series, which we've talked about, traced this position to the numerical integrity of the series, the continuity, which is compromised if one misses an entire day. The Chizkuni's concept, coupled with the Rav's amplification, invites a different reading of the Bahag. Perhaps, by counting during the daytime, the mitzvah of counting the days is not accomplished, but the mitzvah of counting the weeks and the overall calculation may still be maintained by daytime counting. Thus, one preserves the 7 perfect weeks, if not each day, allowing the continuation of the counting the next day with the bracha. Okay, at this point, I just want to polish off a few other details. And again, I brought you just right Carrigan's summary here. Maybe I'll just say it, go through these outside a little bit. One question that may be affected by this is the question of whether you follow the girsa in the bracha of La Omer, not in the bracha, in the counting of La Omer or Ba Omer. The Mechaber, right, Shulchan Aruch, doesn't have a version. The Rama says Ba Omer is right, but most of the Minhagim follow the Arizal, who says La Omer. Now, what's the difference between La Omer and Ba Omer? So, the difference seems to be as follows. If you are counting from a particular event, and this is what the Shari Tshuva notes, so then you count li, right? So the first pasuk in Bamidbar is Vaydaber Adonai El Moshe b'midbar Sinai bo'el moed b'achad l'chodesh hasheni l'tzeit b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. That was my bar mitzvah parsha, so that's why I know it, right? So there we say to the leaving of the Jewish people. So le tells you that you start from a particular event. Ba makes it sound like we are in a particular time period. So it could be that the machloket girso la omer ba omer comes down to the question we talked about all the way at the beginning: to what extent is Sfirat Omer dependent on the bringing of the Omer? If it's dependent on the bringing of the Omer, then it might be La Omer, that we're counting since the day when we brought the Omer. If you say that it's independent, and this is just a time period that stands alone, so then Ba Omer might be more proper as you're counting from within this time period. Another issue is the question of why don't we actually count the 50th day? Now, the Chok Yaakov actually says that the Minhag of the Maharil was to say on day 49, today is day 49, and tomorrow is Erev Shavuot. Right? That would imply that you actually are supposed to count 50 days rather than that be a rounding, like we saw from the Rush. Another way of understanding it, though, would be to say that maybe the reason we don't count a 50th day is because if you're counting the time period, so that's only 49 days, right? Shavuot is not part of it. The thinking that the 50th day of part of it is part of it makes more sense if you think the nature of Sfirat Omer is that you're counting from the carbon of the Shtei Alechem from the carbon of the Omer to the carbon of the Shtei Alechem. So if you think that both carbonot, not just the Omer, but both carbonot are part of this conceptual count, so then you might think that you should in some way acknowledge the counting on day 50. But if you think you're just counting the time period, or you're just counting days from the Omer, and not with the focus on the Shtei Alechem, so then it's really 49 days. Now this also might connect, right, Targum doesn't say this, but this is something we talked about 2 days ago. This might also connect to the extent to which you have to daven later on Shavuot, right? Meaning if you think that at a certain level, Kiddush on day 50 is part of the mitzvah of finishing the Sfira, that would be another way of suggesting that maybe the count really is from the Omer to the Shtei Alechem, because then in fact, maybe Kiddush on the 50th day is part of the count, and that's why we care about the time that you count. And again, we've talked about several times the question of whether this is one big mitzvah or 49 separate mitzvot. Okay, so those are just a few ancillary issues in Sfirat Omer. There are other issues we didn't touch on, like can you count in writing or not? Can you only do it verbally? I didn't want to get into that because that's not as much a localized Sfira topic as it is a general topic about the relationship between speaking and writing, right? Is writing an expression of speaking? There are related issues, right? Because one question you have to ask there is writing a form of speaking? And the second is, to what extent does Sfirat Omer really require speaking? And to what extent is it, you know, is it more a calculation or something like that? But I didn't want to get too bogged down in some of these issues. And we've really gone through these things a lot, so I didn't want to get bogged down in it. So that really brings us to the end of, I think, the sugyas that I want to do in terms of the Sfirat Omer. We've done a lot of them. The next thing I want to do is Ein Ma'avirin al ha-mitzvot, ideally. And maybe we'll do some, and hopefully if we have time, we'll do some issues of the actual cutting of the Omer and the Heter of the Omer and Chadash and Yashan and things like that. Okay, I'm going to stop here.